Blog Talk Radio.
All right, good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Women of Golf. It's the 2nd of September. Hard to believe that the summer is almost over. I'm, of course, your host, Ted Odorico, and joining me, of course, is our other host, none other than the hardest working woman in golf today, the LPGA professional, Cindy Miller. Cindy, welcome back.
Well, thank you. It's nice to be back.
So did you have a good holiday?
I did. We did a couple of golf holes, and then I rested for 2 days, which is, really cool.
Very good, very good. Even on the holiday, you still managed to find some time to squeeze in a little golf and to help those out there with their game. Cindy, we got a great show. Let me just remind the folks, of course, how they can get a hold of us and where they can tune into the program every Tuesday morning. Of course, we're live on the air right now, Tuesday mornings at 9 a.m. Eastern Standard Time here on blogtalkradio.com. And the simplest way to find us is to visit the website, blogtalkradio.com, and you can type up in the search key Women of Golf, or you can just /, and add it right on the end of the link, and that will bring you right to us every Tuesday morning. And, of course, we're from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. Eastern Time. That's 8 to 9 Central Time for those of you in Central Standard Time. If you want to speak to Cindy or I anytime during the broadcast or talk to any of our guests, you can do so at area code 347-945-5855, or you can email questions and comments about the program to womenofgolf@gmail.com. Cindy, joining us today, we got a couple of great ladies. Of course, a returning visitor, Jane Blaylock, of course, the president of the Legends Tour, is going to be coming up here in just a few moments. And then a little bit later in the broadcast, of course, we're going to be joined for the first time by Elaine Crosby. She's a former LPGA Tour player, and she's also the director of the Wendy's Charity Classic in that's going to be taking place in Michigan. That's going to be coming up a little bit. And you obviously know both of these ladies. Tell us a little bit about Elaine and your dealings with Elaine.
Well, Elaine is just a nice person. You know, not everybody's a nice person, but Elaine is she's just a great lady. She does a lot of work for charity. She's in charge of the Catholic charity for Catholic schools and the youth in Michigan, in Jackson, Michigan, and she has run the Wendy's Charity Classic. I'll let her tell you how long, but they raise money for the Thomas Foundation. And she's just a great girl and just a nice, nice person. But the last week we weren't here, I just wanted to talk a little bit about the LPGA National Teaching Championship. We were at Bethel Lawn Resort, and there were 144 women participating in the championship. There was three different sections. There was the normal championship for those who still want to compete and play in the LPGA championship. The top eight finishers in that tournament become exempt for next year's KPMG tournament at Westchester Club, which is replacing the Wegmans Championship in Rochester.
Right.
And then there is the challenge section of the tournament where those who really know they can't compete at the highest level get to compete against each other, and there's a separate purse for them. And then there's the senior division, which is what I participated in. And Jean Bartholomew won the championship division tournament for, this is her third year in a row. She's a great player. She's a good stick. She still plays in some LPGA Tour events as well as the Legends Tour, and she's just a real good player, and she has won her third championship in a row, which is pretty darn good.
Well, that's fantastic. And how did you like the resort?
Oh, it was beautiful. A great resort, great hotel. There's a winery right there on site. There's two golf courses at Chateau Alain. It was just beautiful.
Yeah. And how did you play overall?
I still hit a couple of my flippers, and I made some doubles and triples, and I shot 76, 76, 73. So not as good as I wanted to, but if we could take away those left of left and the triples, we could be getting pretty good. So I'm not done yet. I'm continuing. It's a lifelong pursuit of git, as you well know.
Yep. That's but that's part of the Own Your Game, of course, the series that we did that Cindy brought to the show over the last month or so. And for those of you that want to learn a little bit more about how to own your game, go back into the archives section, of course, of the Women of Golf show, and you can tune in and listen to that. And I obviously suggest that you go back to the very beginning and listen from day one and just really get some great tips and some great help on how to own your game. And we appreciate you, Cindy, for bringing that to the show. And it was a great series. I enjoyed it and had a lot of fun doing that. But that's really what it's all about, is really understanding yourself. It's not all the physical part of the game. It's obviously the majority of it is mental side. And that's something that, as you said, it's a lifelong journey trying to handle and tackle all of the inroads, if you will, of becoming a better player.
Absolutely. And the good news is you can always improve.
That's right. that's right. I think a lot of people, obviously, through, and this is why I say I think, you certainly have to work on the physical part of your game. There's no doubt about that. But I think far too many amateur golfers particularly spend a lot of time on the physical part of the game and not as much on the mental side of things, and I think that's why they tend to struggle so much. So this is why it's good to tune in and listen to the program every week. We've got some great guests coming on the show, and we're going to help you with your game and bring some other good series as well. But check out the Own Your Game series that Cindy brought to the show, and as I said, it was over the last couple of months, actually. So go back into the archives, visit www.blogtalkradio.com/womenofgolf, and if you scroll down on the screen, you'll see the on-demand section, and you can just pick whichever program that you might have missed on the regular broadcast. But we're live here today, and we're just waiting for Jane to come on the program, and we'll talk a little bit about Jane. Of course, Jane's been on the show. She was one of our earlier guests, and always a great lady to have on the show. And does a super job, as Cindy will attest, organizing the Legends Tour.
And the LPGA Golf Clinics for Women, which I think this might be the 25th year she's done that. And she brings the game of golf to businesswomen around the country, and they do, Jane and her team do an absolutely marvelous job. It's like turnkey clockwork. They are really great event people. Unbelievable how organized they are. They do a wonderful job. I have a question. Did you happen to see the LPGA Tour event this weekend?
Unfortunately, I didn't. I wish I had have, but as I was mentioning to Cindy off air, I had a few little grandchildren that I was bouncing off my knee, so I didn't get a chance to watch too much golf, and there was three of them. They kept
me I was very impressed with Austin Ernst. You could just see the fire in her eyes. She won her first tour event. She was in a playoff, and I was just absolutely totally impressed with her mental attitude and the way she performed, especially in the playoffs. She was just amazing. So it's just a little bit of what might be to come. In the foreseeable future, this little girl is really a good player, and her brother was caddying for her. It was just very nice to see, very nice to see.
Yeah, I always, as I've mentioned before, I always enjoy watching the ladies play. There's a lot of great young ladies coming up on the tours and just really know how to grind it out. And they're just very, very good, especially around the greens. And that's really where it counts. Too many people, I think, focus on their drives. And certainly drive is important to get in a position. But ultimately, from 100 yards in is where all the scoring happens. So I see that Jane's with us, so let's bring her on. Cindy, if you want to just remind everybody who our first guest is today.
Well, Jane Blaylock is not only a good friend, but she's an absolutely awesome businesswoman, and she is the CEO of the Legends Tour. and the CEO of Jane Blaylock Golf, Inc., and she runs the LPGA Golf Clinics for Women. I believe this might be the 25th or 26th year she has done this. She brings the game of golf to businesswomen around the world, and she does a marvelous job. So welcome to our show, Jane Blaylock. Good morning, Jane.
Good morning, Cindy. Wow. I want to repeat that introduction somewhere else.
It's the truth.
Yeah, she does it well. Welcome back, Jane. Always good to have you on the program, and we appreciate your support.
Well, thank you. It's always nice to be back. You have a great program.
Well, thank you. Now, Cindy, I know that you had some questions that you wanted to ask Jane.
Well, I wanted to start with, if you don't mind, the Honda Cup, because I see that we've got two different captains this year. Can you explain a little bit to the listeners what the Honda Cup is?
Right. The Honda Cup is the Legends Tour, kind of our version of the Solheim Cup or the Ryder Cup, which is on top of everyone's mind right now. And slight difference, it's the top 12 players who were born outside of the United States, so internationally, against the top 12 players born in the U.S. And this would be our eighth year. And last year, the international team won for the first time with Jan Stevenson making a 30-foot putt on the very last hole, which you can imagine was pretty exciting. This year, the event will be played at Old Waverly near Columbus, West Point, Mississippi, near Columbus, Mississippi. And that's where Julie Engster won the U.S. Open. I believe it was in 1999. And, in fact, she will be playing this year on the U.S. Honda Cup team. But as far as the captains are concerned, this year we do have we change the captains every couple of years. And our event is annual, unlike the other, forms of, unlike the Ryder Cup and Solheim Cup. It's just been so exciting. We don't want a year to go by without having it. But this year we have a name that is fairly familiar, particularly in your area. Nancy Lopez is captaining the U.S. team, and Sally Little from South Africa is captaining the international team. And it's going to be quite a battle.
Yeah, I can see, especially with Julie Engster being on the team, and Laura Davies, and Trish Johnson, and Lori Winkler, who just kicked everybody's butt to French Lick. Wow, this is going to be amazing.
And it's Beth Daniel will be playing on the U.S. team, and Sherry Steinhauer, who had a chance to win. She had broke the course record, man or woman, at French Lick with a 63. So there's going to be some great golf, and Cindy, you know the thing about the Legends Tour. Not only is there just incredible talent, but we have all the personalities. So it's really, really going to be exciting, and they expect thousands in the gallery, kind of waving their respective flags.
Well, it's going to be very exciting. I can't wait to see what happens.
Yeah, what a great thing to have, and you know, it's a nice change. It's a refreshing change from sort of the typical tournament format. How do some of the ladies that you've obviously known for many years, Jane, how do they prepare differently for this type of event as opposed to your traditional tournaments? Now that they're going to play in a team format.
The team format is the ultimate, because golf being such an individual sport, I think all of us crave that that team concept where your playing partners are actually rooting for you instead of against you. And just telling the truth here. There's such pressure because, we have the, like the Ryder Cup, we have the four ball and the foursomes. And it's scary because your partner hits a drive down the middle and you've got a 180-yard shot and you want just so desperately to hit a good shot, not to let your partner down or your entire team. And there's nothing in the world like pressure playing for your country. There's not a dollar amount in the world that can compare with that type of importance. And the players are just trying so hard to qualify to play on the team, and which is why we have such a fantastic field.
That's great. Speaking of Nancy Lopez, even though our program is international because we're online here, but I'm from Western New York, and I can tell you that Western New York is quite sad that the Wegmans LPGA Championship is moving to New York City. And even though I'm from here, their favorite person is not me. It's Sergio Lopez, which I can understand. But what can we do to replace the LPGA Wegmans Championship in Western New York? Do you have any ideas?
Well, do I ever. That would be Western. I mean, you talk about a perfect venue for a Legends tournament. I mean, I'm thinking back. I happened to have won the tournament before it was called Wegmans, and we certainly know about the galleries. But about 6-7 years ago, we had a past champions event on a Tuesday afternoon prior to the regular LPGA, and there were 12 of us, and 26,000 people showed up to watch us. And I've never seen,
wow.
I had goosebumps for 18 holes, the fairways were lined, and that was more than double that showed up for the LPGA on the weekend. So what does that tell you? It tells you that why not bring, you know, Pat Bradley, Patty Sheehan, you know, Julie Inkster, Laura Davies. You're not missing a beat. And these are the players that are near and dear to everyone, not just in Rochester, but, you know, the surrounding areas, certainly, you know, Buffalo, anywhere in the Western New York area. It's just what a perfect idea to fill that void of losing the LPGA. And one more comment on that, too, is that the beauty of it is that our prize money is so much more reasonable. It would allow the community to raise so much more in charitable dollars. So you have fewer expenses, bigger names, greater personalities, and excitement in the community and raising more money for charity. So what's wrong with that idea?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I'm working diligently to try to find some sponsors because I think it's not only a great idea, but it's a great thing for the community, and I think it would go over very, very well. So let's just keep our fingers crossed that we can make
that happen. Okay, well, you just keep working on that, and I'm sure we could get our friends at Wegmans to help out in some capacity.
And that's really, go
ahead.
No, go ahead. Go ahead, Cindy. Finish your thought.
Well, I was going to change the subject, so go ahead and finish that.
What I was just going to say, you know, just to follow up on the charity aspect of it, that's one of the things that I've always really enjoyed. Obviously, a lot of sports work together with different charities, but golf has always really, in my opinion, been in the forefront in helping out a lot of local charities and things with the different tournaments. And how important is that, do you think, to the players? How much do they really get out of it as far as emotionally when they're able to know that them coming out every week playing in these tournaments is doing so much for the local communities?
Well, that's always been a big part of it. You know, when you're having a really bad day, you think about, look at the good I'm doing. And the thing, again, that differentiates, you know, having played on the LPGA for many years. On the Legends Tour, we get more involved with the charities. We just had this great tournament in the Legends Championship in French Lick, Indiana. And the charitable recipient was Riley's Children's Hospital. Well, they had 200 kids out there interacting with our players, or our players interacting with those kids, you know, putting with them, talking to them, signing golf balls. So it's not just, it's more than writing a check. It's really partnering with that charity. And, you know, that's another, of course, I'm constantly touting the virtues of the Legends Tour, but that certainly is one that cannot be denied.
Absolutely.
Right. And,
absolutely.
Yeah, go ahead, Cindy.
No, go ahead.
No, I was finished. I wanted you to bring up another topic.
I was just going to mention, how many years have you been doing the LPGA golf clinics for women?
Longer than I played on the LPGA.
Really?
This is our, I'll say, 24th year of the LPGA clinic. And it's just they're getting stronger and stronger. And you mentioned, you know, the Wegmans moving, or the LPGA Championship now moving to Westchester, and KPMG is a big sponsor. Well, KPMG just became a sponsor of our LPGA Clinic Series as well, really trying to, you know, expand the game of golf to women around the country.
Perfect. That's great. You just do a marvelous job, and your team is so organized. And every time I'm around them, I'm flabbergasted at what a great job they do. So congratulations, you got your.
Well, I do have a great team, Cindy, and it's I get the credit, but it's my team that does all the work.
They're marvelous. Jane, and it's fun to teach all those women, too.
Right. Jane, let me ask you a question on the topic of women's golf. Do you get a lot of feedback from women, not so much that are playing in the different tournaments, but that are involved in the various clinics? Do you get a lot of feedback personally about how much they appreciate being able to have access and being able to participate in a lot of these different events?
Well, yes, it's interesting because in our LPGA clinics, we'll have about 25% of the women who have never even touched a golf club. So it's not to be confused
right.
with a golf school. It's empowering women through giving them another vehicle for sales or for enhancing their, you know, personal or professional lives. But we just had the FedEx Cup tournament in Boston area, the Deutsche Bank. And for the first time, they had a foursome of women, all of whom attended our LPGA clinic this summer in Boston. And they mm-hmm. credited their courage to play in the Pro-Am with having attended the clinic. And
wow.
they played with Billy Horschel, and the feedback was, he said, they played ready golf. It's the fastest team he's ever played with. And they didn't moan, saying they usually play better than this, as they hear from all the men that play in the Pro-Ams. So not
yeah.
only did they have fun, but they had positive feedback. So those are the stories. Because what we want, you know, women miss out on opportunities, and Cindy knows, because, you know, she has taught so many women and women in business around, you know, her area. And, you know, you want to just give, you just want to empower them to say, you know, it's okay to go out and play in that charity event, that corporate event, because the guys do, and they're not nearly as good as they pretend to be.
Right, and yeah, and I can attest to that. I've seen plenty of the amateur golfers that come out to these different pro-am events, and I can attest, and they do a lot of grumbling, a lot of groaning. So you're exactly right on that point. What are some things that you know that you're looking forward to in the future that you're trying to do to help grow golf for women? What are some things that you're looking for? You know, fast forward it maybe a year or 2 years from now that you see a direction maybe that women should take.
Well, you know, I plan to continue to expand our LPGA clinics. I mean, it takes a lot of my time. But I also, the Legends Tour isn't where it should be. And we are working more closely now with the LPGA, hoping to have some joint events. And I wish I had time to do more than the Legends Tour and the LPGA clinics, but I'm just about maxed out on those two particular goals. And I said, but expanding the clinic, because we are in 14 cities throughout the U.S. with the LPGA series. And then we actually do five others now. We do three for American Express and one for FedEx and one for we used to do it at the Kraft Nabisco. We'll see what happens this year. If we can just expand on that series and touch more women who are the influencers who in turn, you know, talk to others, say, hey, you know, you ought to play this game. This is a good thing to do. You know, it's going to expand your business horizons. And the golf certainly needs expansion. And how many companies are finally paying attention to the women's market, saying, okay, if we're looking to grow, this is a logical area to focus our resources.
Yeah, and Cindy and I have talked about this, you know, briefly, and we're certainly going to get into it more involved as the shows progress. But, you know, this is something that I've become very passionate about as well. The women's market, obviously there's a junior market there as well, but we're going to stick with the women's market for now. You know, I think you have to be living on a different planet if you don't realize that at least 51, if not more, percent of the global population is female. So it would only make sense that the manufacturers and business companies out there would want to gravitate to that market because it's virtually really untapped compared to the men's market. Do you see that happening a little bit more now, even though it's at a snail's pace? And if so, what are some things that they could be doing differently, in your opinion, to help tap into that market?
Well, first, yes, I do see a difference. And it's a different, like, for example, we have Walgreens sponsoring two LPGA Legends tournaments every year, and it's a health and wellness component because it's walking and it's, you know, golf is a game of a lifetime. so with the country so conscious of healthy living and healthy lifestyle, golf makes perfect sense. So companies are pushing that angle, and for example, Titleist became a sponsor last year of our LPGA Clinic Series. Well, they've always been a completely male-dominated company. Now they're saying, "Gosh, we want to educate women because we are seeing this potential market," and so that's a huge statement. Manufacturers need to wake up a little bit more and just pay more attention to the women's market. But I think some of them are.
Yeah, I see a little bit of that. As I said, it tends to be a little bit at a snail's pace, but I guess as long as it's moving in that direction, it's that's a positive thing. But what about as far as from the teaching aspect? I know that we had a guest on a few weeks back that talked about the LPGA moving in a little bit of, and I'm talking about the teaching side of it, where they're offering a type of certification program geared for specifically teaching women, which is obviously different than teaching men. What do you know about that, and is that something, too, that could be improved upon?
Well, to be honest, I don't know much about that. I host our LPGA clinics, but go away if I tried to teach you, because I know very little about the game, and Cindy and Alan will tell you that. But I think that is, given what you just told me, and that's the first I've heard of it, I think certifying women to teach women is fantastic because it's different. And at our clinics, sometimes company will ask, well, do you have men? No, we have women because it's that safe environment and it's a different way of communicating. And I think that's very, very important. And it's just such an important component of growing this game and getting it out of that, that stagnant phase, as you say.
Yeah, I believe now, if memory serves me correct, and Cindy, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think it was Karen Palacios Jensen that talked about that when she was on the program. In fact, I think she was involved with it a little bit, and in fact, I'm pretty much certain of that. But this is an area that obviously needs to continue to grow, and we appreciate all of the hard work and all of the great things that you're doing, Jane, to do that through the Legends Tour and through the LPGA clinics.
Well, thanks so much, and I said we're just tapping the surface, so to speak.
Yeah, there's lots of room for growth, and that's the exciting part. It's exciting to watch and see, the industry grow in that area. It's obviously had a little bit of a slump in more recent years in golf in general, just obviously a lot of it to do with the economy. And companies and organizations need to look at ways of making golf a little bit more affordable for those that aren't as fortunate. But if they continue to do what they're doing and move in that direction, I'm sure that you're going to start seeing some advancements as the time goes on.
Well, that'd be great for
Cindy,
everybody. So,
exactly. Cindy, any final thoughts before we let Jane go back to work and work hard on the Legends Tour?
No, I just want to thank her very much for all she does for us, for the Legends Tour, for women, for everything. You're a wonderful businesswoman, and I'm so grateful to know you, and I'm thankful that you started the Legends Tour, because without that, I wouldn't have had the opportunity to have my little mulligan here, so I really appreciate it.
Well, it's my pleasure, and now all you have to do is to get that tournament for us in Western New York with the Legends.
Trust me, it's going to be my number one thing to do this fall.
Okay, all right, thanks for having me.
Thank you, Jane.
All right, thanks, Jane. Welcome, welcome back anytime. We appreciate it. Okay, Cindy, I see that Elaine is also joined us now, and if you want to just give an introduction for Elaine, we'll bring her on as well.
Well, I would like to welcome my friend Elaine Crosby, who I've just met in the last 10 or 15 years when I started playing on the Legends Tour. I did not know her when she played on the LPGA Tour because I was raising three little munchkins in Western New York. But Elaine has run the LPGA or the Legends Tour Wendy's Charity Classic for I'm not sure how long. She can tell us. But I know she won the LPGA Tour, but I'm not sure how many times. And I can tell you that she's very consistent. She hits the ball deadly straight. She had the best tempo I've ever seen a player have. Every time I see her at a Legends Tour event on the driving range, I say, Swenson, I just have to watch this. So I would like to welcome my good friend Elaine Crosby. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning, everybody. How are you?
Great.
Good morning, Elaine. Welcome to the program. We're glad to have you.
Thank you.
Elaine, just very quickly, just to let the listeners know a little bit about yourself before we get into talking about the Wendy's Charity Classic. Just a little bit about your career on the LPGA Tour and wins and things like that. Just sort of give them a little bit of background, if you don't mind.
Sure. Well, I played on the tour from 86 to 2000, and I had two wins. The first one came in 89. Over in Japan, and then the second one came at the last year we had the tournament in Hershey, the Keystone Classic. So that was my second win. That was in 94. I had a good career. I had, you know, the middle part of it with most of us are our best years. I was just getting started at golf basically when I got on tour. So it took me a few years to kind of get my feet under me. And then, you know, towards the end it was like, okay, I think it's time to move on. But I had a really nice career. I got involved in the executive committee, which is the governing body of the LPGA, for about 6 years. I was president in 94 and served on the committee in different capacities for about 6 years right there in the middle. So I did enjoy that. I kind of took my business degree from Michigan and put it to work while I was still playing golf. So since 2000, I've been playing the Legends Tour as much as possible. Have one win that came over at Hy-Vee Classic back in 2006, I believe. And I also work I live in Jackson, Michigan, and work for the Jackson Area Catholic Schools raising money. So that's kind of where I'm at right now, and I have a lovely dog, Gabby.
Let me ask, Elaine, just before we get into a little bit about the classic, and let me just ask you, did you find that once you've been in competitive golf on the LPGA Tour and obviously now progressed to the Legends Tour, did you find it difficult when you had a short span there where you weren't playing to get back into competitive golf? Did you find that sort of that bug bit you every once in a while say, I think I want to go back out and compete again?
Well, I really didn't have that long of a time because I think maybe for the 1 year after I got off, I didn't compete. But then at the time, the Legends Tour, the age was 42, and then we progressed it up to 45 to get some players. So somebody from the Legends Tour, whether I don't know if it was Janie or who, called me and, you know, said, hey, you're eligible to play. Why don't you come play? And I came out to Hy-Vee, and it wasn't the year that I won. It took me about – I kept finishing second for some reason until I finally won it. But I came out, and I really had a good time. It was great. You know, it was nice because we were playing a little shorter golf courses and, you know, and just being around people that were having fun playing again. So I really didn't have a long time. I played – we have a nice Michigan Open here I'd played in, and we have another – the PGA of Michigan PGA holds a tournament champion. So I kept a little bit into it, but – I really never looked back at the LPGA and said, oh, I wish I was there. I'd go down to Toledo and watch occasionally, and I still didn't, like, want to be out there. So it was an easy transition for me.
Cindy, do you have...
Why did you know that you were done competing full-time on the LPGA? When did you know that this is time to walk and do something else?
You know, that's a really hard... I think it's really hard for people to really discern what when that happens, because you don't know if I wasn't playing. You know, I mean, not very many people walk away from the tour when they're playing well, so that's a given. But you don't really know whether you're not playing well because you don't want to be there, or you don't want to be there because you're not playing well. I mean, it's sometimes difficult to decide that, and I'm really not sure. But I just knew that I wasn't playing well, and I was beating my head against the wall, and I thought, why am I doing this to myself? Because it's not. I got a long life ahead of me besides just playing on the golf tour.
Well, I think that transition can be difficult for a lot of people.
What? I'm sorry?
I said I think that transition can be difficult for a lot of people.
Oh, yes, I agree.
And it sounds like it wasn't that difficult for you, which I think is great.
Yeah, I mean, I think I went through the transition of it, still staying out there and playing. And the last year that I played, I only played 10 events, and they were just handpicked 10 events. I think I was still in that year. I was my last year of eligibility in the Dinosaur. And so it was, you know, I kind of just said, all right, I can be away from the tour and be happy. So it really wasn't as difficult. I think the last couple years I played was more difficult being out there than when I wasn't out there. And I think that's what that last year of only playing 10 events and being home a lot of the time made it a lot easier.
That's nice. So tell us a little bit about what you do for the Catholic Charities and the Wendy's Charity Classic. You're always trying to raise money for people. You're just such a giver.
Yeah, and sometimes I think, I'm not sure I really like it, but I can, you know, some people say, well, you're good at it, so keep doing it. Well, the Wendy's Charity Golf Classic, we celebrated our 13th event this year, and we've raised, I think we're at about $2.3 million, I believe, so far that we've raised, and it's all for adoption in Michigan. It's specifically now for the Wendy's Wonderful Kids recruiting process, which is a great thing that Dave Thomas Foundation started about probably now about 5 or 6 years ago, where they put recruiters in different agencies around the country, and they have a specific list of kids that they're trying to find homes, and they're usually kids that have been in the foster care system for a long, long time, and they may be very close to aging out, which is a horrible thing to have to go through at 18 to all of a sudden be, okay, you're on your own. And so they dig around and try to find maybe family members that were kind of lost in these kids' lives, or teachers, or they just sometimes just find people that, you know, they like the story, and then they end up meeting the kid and adopting them. So that's, we started out, I was still on the LPGA when we started it, so it was, we kind of did it around the Toledo Classic, and I'd bring up LPGA players, but then once I got on the Legends Tour, I said to them, can we start kind of do Legends Tour players, because one, they were people, my friends and people I knew, and they were, you know, Pat Bradley and Jan Stevenson and Cindy Rarick and Cindy Miller and people like that, you know, really could make the event better, because they weren't like trying to get to the next stop. They weren't trying to get, okay, now, you know, I leave Toledo, I got to go to Jackson and do this, and I want to get out of here, and, you know, now they're coming for the event. And so then we turned it into a Sunday, we have a shootout, and it's really an 18-hole golf event, but I think everybody likes doing that as well. So that's kind of where it's been, and it just keeps going every year. And I'm the host of the event, but we have Sue Fracker is our tournament director, who does a tremendous job, and then the franchise in town here, there's four guys that own it, and they all get really involved in helping get the sponsors. So they, you know, they get some of their vendors and some of the people that do work for them, but it's kind of a machine that just kind of happens every year now. You know, we got it down pretty good.
You really do. It's amazing. Well, Sue Fracker and the guys, they just do a great job.
Yeah. Well, it helps to have Sue. She knows what she's doing.
Elaine, let me ask you a quick question here, if I can. You know, Jane, when she was on just a few moments before you came on, talked about, with respect to charities, particularly referring to, of course, the ladies on the Legends Tour, that it's not really just so much about writing a check to these different charities, but they more often than not actually get involved. How important is that to you, and what sort of involvement happens through this particular program for Wendy's that some of the players do, some of the things that you do to get
player,
involved?
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, because it is Michigan, I mean, it's strictly for adoption in Michigan, but our players, when they come, I mean, we have them at the party, and they tend to buy a lot of things in the auctions. We had kids out there at the golf course, and they, you know, they're really friendly to them, and they all see. I mean, you can't help. I mean, we show videos, and we usually have one of the kids come and speak, and, you know, you look around the room, everybody's crying, because everybody can put themselves in that position. You know, you're 16 years old. You've never had parents really, other than go through a series of foster parents. And now, you know, you're getting close to being put out on the street by yourself. And, I mean, not that foster parents are great and they do a great service to these kids, but, you know, once they're 18, they, you know, I'm sure that there are a lot of foster parents that still stay, you know, they don't just say goodbye.
In touch.
But,
right.
Everybody wants to have somebody to, you know, I mean,
somebody to
we love. All, yeah, somebody to love you and to unconditionally love you. And it's just, it's very sad. But the players, to answer your question, I mean, the players seem to get involved in, you know, the various charities. I mean, I would say that without a fault, probably everybody on the Legends Tour is involved in some charity somewhere doing something in their hometown.
Right.
Absolutely.
And
go ahead.
No, that's fine. I'm sorry.
What I was going to ask you, just to sort of follow up with that, you mentioned a few moments ago about recruiters. Tell us a little bit more about that and how somebody could become involved in that if they wanted to be somebody that to...
Yeah, you would have to. I mean, these recruiters are people that are, you know, college educated in social work. And so they go and, you know, they may go work, like in our case, like we had one of the first recruiters that was supported through the Dave Thomas Foundation here at our Family Service and Children's Aid. And basically the person is an employee of Family Service and Children's Aid in Jackson. And that person, there's an exchange. It's called the Michigan Adoption Resource Exchange here. It's a state exchange where all the kids that are in the foster care system were, you know, some of them are in facilities too, are listed, and they've just kind of been given, here's 20 kids or 30 kids that we really want you to go out and find homes for. So they have to dig around in their histories and in their school records and whatever they can find on these kids and where they, how they ended, you know, starting with how they ended up not with their parents or their birth parents, and go from there. And to become one, it would be something you'd have to, you know, you'd have to go to college and become a social worker and, you know, and learn about adoption. And each state's different in how they do it and what licensing is necessary and all that. But they stay with the kid. I mean, they go to the kid. They learn, they meet, they go visit the children. They take them to, like in Michigan, we have these like kind of picnics where they bring kids that are, you know, looking for forever homes, and adults that, you know, families that want, are considering adoption might come to those picnics, and they can actually interact with the kids, and they have great success with that when you actually get to meet the children and just see a picture or a profile, because these kids all have baggage, and it takes a very... You know, they all have emotional problems. There's no question, and so it takes a really special people that are willing to take that on. You know, take on a 15-year-old that, you know, is coming in with, you know, maybe a chip on their shoulder for a good reason, and trying to show them that, you know, the love is there and that they're special.
Well, I think taking on a 15. I think taking on a 15-year-old in the best of times is difficult enough, but certainly with some of the challenges I'm sure are facing these youngsters, it's even more so. And hats off to those families out there and individuals that are getting involved. What gravitated you to this particular charity? There's a lot of charities out there, as you mentioned. Was there any particular reason what brought this to your sort of visual?
Yeah, really how it happened, I wasn't even, you know, I was still on the tour, so I wasn't even aware of everything that was going on. And the current, or the person that was the owned this franchise, he and his wife came to me and said, hey, would you be willing to do an LPGA event around, or, you know, or pro-am, get your LPGA friends, and we want to do an event to raise money for adoption. And at that time, there was Dave Thomas Foundation, but there wasn't the Wendy's Wonderful Kids Recruiter Program. So it was just for a resource center at our family service for adoption, because the Dave Thomas Foundation is obviously the main charity of the Wendy's franchisees. And Dave Thomas himself was adopted. And he actually came to our first couple events, which was awesome. But they just came to me and asked me if I would be willing to, you know, join with them to do this, start this. And we had another pro-am that was done for our hospital through the race car drivers, like we have the Michigan International Speedway here, and they formed a pro-am that they were doing, and they brought in PGA players for that. And so this kind of got them thinking, hey, we should do this with LPGA players. We have an LPGA player that, you know, from here. So it just started
right.
that way. And then he eventually retired from and sold most of his most of the stores to these four guys that were his division managers. And so Mark Beam, who's the president, he and I just kind of kept going with it. And like I said, it's been 13 years, and we outlived the MIS outing. We're still going. So we're the only professional event in Jackson anymore.
Wow. And obviously, I know it goes – I was looking at some of the information here before we had you on the show, and I see obviously – I know the Davis Dave Thomas Foundation extends up into Canada as well. Is there tournaments or things that are happening up in Canada as well that you know of that maybe you could mention?
You know, I'm not really sure. I had I have talked to the executive director of the Dave Thomas Foundation suggesting that we, you know, that maybe they start taking what we're doing and
mm-hmm.
kind of making it the cookie cutter, like, here, this works. This raises a lot of money.
Right.
And do it in different parts of the country. And, you know, the nice thing about the Legends Tour players of any, I mean, I'm not saying that the other tours don't have nice people. They certainly do. But our Legends players get it, and they get what they're doing. And,
yeah.
you know, they come, like we have theme party on Sunday night, which I'm not always the best at. This year it was Roman Empire, so they were suggesting togas, which I just didn't do. But some of our players came in togas. You know, because that was a theme. We've had, you know, all kinds of different themes. You know, we had Caribbean, and we've had we had Northern Exposure. You guys would have liked that. It was we had trees and snow, and, you know, I wore one of those musket-type hats with the flaps on it, you know, flannel shirt. And, you know, and we try to have drinks that kind of go with whatever the theme is. And I think it's the same drink every year. It just comes in a different glass. But,
yeah.
you know, so but they all come, and they have a great time, and they laugh, and they, you know, they meet their players that night before. They've already played the tournament round, so the next day is just the
right.
The pro-am. And last year, it got rained out. This year, it rained the entire back nine, and nobody left the golf course. Amateur or pro, they just stayed out there and mudded right
after
through. So, yep. yeah. So I think the Legends
well,
were... It's just a great group of women that really they want to make a difference, and they enjoy people.
Yeah, and you're right. I think you hit it right on the head. I think they get it, and they understand the importance of you know, being involved and working for these. And I think this is what makes a lot of the tournaments even more enjoyable. I mean, obviously, there's the excitement of playing in the tournament and you know, even winning the tournament is one thing. But when you know, are able to look, in this particular case, you're able to look around and see, you know, some of the expressions on some of these youngsters that you're trying to help and see that you're doing this, that somebody actually out there actually cares about them and is looking out to, you know, to help them, just makes it that much more a sweeter of a victory, if you will, or participation.
Absolutely. I mean, we saw that at French Lick recently because we were raising money for a children's hospital. They had the kids out there,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, it makes a difference when you can really touch and feel what it is you're raising your money for. It makes those missed putts not quite so important.
Yeah, exactly. Cindy, obviously, I know you've been involved in this and played as well. What are some of the things, some of your memories, if you will, from being involved in the Wendy's Charity Classic?
Well, I think one of the best things is that you have one of the kids, a local junior player, caddy for you in the pro-am.
Hmm.
And that, to me, is great. And it's funny because one of the kids that I played with in the pro-am probably 5 or 6 years ago ended up coming to Buffalo to take a lesson from Alan just a few weeks ago. So it's just amazing the people that you meet and the lives you can touch when you don't even know you're touching them. I think that's, and one of the young girls who played college golf who's now got a real job, and when you come back and you're like, wow, you know, I remember when you caddied for me or we played together. You know, it's just, golf is just such a great game that you meet such wonderful people. And I think the reason that the Legends Tour women get it, and I'm not saying that other people don't get it as well, but
right.
I think once you walk away from, I was never a spoiled brat on the tour because I wasn't good enough to stay out there, but there's an awful lot of entitled young people, and I believe that our Legends Tour, we get the fact that we have earned the right to be where we are, but we also know that it's our job or our life assignment, if you will, to help others. And
yes.
if you don't get it, then you're not invited to play. Would you agree with that anyway?
Yeah, I would, and I've had issues, every now and then. In the 13 years I've run it, you know, been involved in this event, I can only say twice I've had to tell a player, no, you're not invited because of something that happened. But I only have 24 players that I can invite, and sometimes including myself. And so, you know, I'm very selective, and but it's not what I find is, sure, everybody wants to play with Pat Bradley and Nancy Lopez and Jan Stevenson and, you know, all the big names. But when they walk off that golf course, it doesn't matter. They don't care. I have not had a player being able to, you know, like for an invitation, I'll be able to pick who I want to play. I have not had an amateur walk up to me and go, wow, that person, you should not invite her again. You know, they've always had a good time. Whether it's, you know, somebody that never won a tournament to somebody that won 30 tournaments. You know, they always have a great time.
Well, and that's what they're
about. Well, and I think, you know, as you've said, you know, they get it, they understand, and it's a way really for a lot of the women on the Legends Tour to be able to give back to their communities and to give back to the people that have supported them all the way, you know, through the process. I'm, of course, referring to the fans. You know, many of them have enjoyed a great career on the LPGA, and now they've progressed into the Legends Tour, and it's a way for them to get more active and more involved. And even though they're out there grinding it and wanting to win the tournament, they're looking at things perhaps from maybe a little different perspective than they might have 20, 30 years ago.
Right, and I think the fact that a lot of us have other careers or other, you know, doing something else,
right.
may still be in golf, but, you know, it puts a different perspective on it because now you can come out and enjoy yourself and not, you know, it's not going to pay your light bill. You know, it's it's going to maybe get you some better wine or something, you know.
Right.
But it's not all, you know, that we have people that are tournament directors. We have a ping rep. We have coaches. We have people like Cindy who just, you know, does a gazillion different things. And on top of taking care of Alan, but you know, we have there are a variety of things that they're doing. So we have an artist, Muffin Spencer Devlin. She always wanted to be an artist, and she is. So she had time to do that. And a lot of us, and you know, a lot of people too, are taking care of their parents, which is nice that they can go home and take care of their parents. And they're old, as they supported them their whole lives too.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
And I think the nice thing about the game of golf. I just have to say one thing, is the fact that it's a participation sport. I mean, as much as I love the Buffalo Bills, I'm not going to get down on the field and play with them. But golf is such a participation sport. And the tournament a few weeks ago at French Lick, one of the girls, the poster child, if you will, for the Riley Children's Foundation, Ashton Brown, happens to be a two-time survivor of leukemia. And it's funny because our daughter did this special feature on it for the Golf Channel, but after we were done playing one round, Kathy Whitworth was on the range giving Ashton a lesson. And so it's the sharing and the participation so that amateurs can be next to the pros and play with them and pick their brain and glean the wisdom of all the tournament wins, and that's what makes it so exciting. And almost all of the pros that I know on the Legends Tour would be willing to share that wisdom.
Oh, absolutely. And luckily they share it with me, too, so that I can hit it better from time to time.
That's right. Now, of course, they're not going to share all of the secrets, but they're going to give you a few tips along the way, that's for sure. Well, Elena, first off, we want to thank you for coming on this morning. Just before we wrap up, if you want to just take a moment just to just sort of let the listeners know about the tournament, when it normally takes place, and if they want to become involved in whatever capacity, how they can go about doing that.
Absolutely. Well, the Wendy's Charity Golf Classic is always the second Sunday of August in Jackson, Michigan. And you can always find information out about it if you want to sponsor, you want to play, by going to the legendstour.com website. And you can just click on the Wendy's Charity Golf Classic, and it'll take you to the sponsorship page or the information page for everything you want. And that pretty much goes for all the Legends Tour events. If you look at the schedule, you'll see where, you know, they're all listed, and they all have, you know, can have links to their websites for their various events.
Mm-hmm.
The next, you know, obviously the next event we have is the Honda Cup, which is going to be played down in Mississippi at Old Waverly. Nancy Lopez is the captain of the U.S. team, and she kindly invited me to be her co-captain, so I'm, or her assistant captain, not
oh,
her
wow.
co-captain. You can never be co-to. There's no such thing as being a co to Nancy Lopez. I can never hold a candle. I'm her assistant. I'm going to run around and do whatever she tells me. That's the next one coming up, which is in, I believe it's the last weekend in September. And then we'll be down at Delray Beach in November. So that's another event. If anybody's heading south and they want to come see us, we'll be in Delray in November. But again, legendstour.com.
Thank you so much, Elaine, for joining us today. We really appreciate it. And thank you for all you do for all the kids and all the Legends Tour events. We really, truly appreciate it.
Well, you're welcome. Nice talking to you.
All right. Thank you, Elaine, for joining us.
All right. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, just to wrap things up, want to thank our special guests again, Jane Blaylock, of course, the CEO and president of the Legends Tour, for all the great work that she does, and of course, our last guest this morning, Elaine Crosby, the director of the Wendy's Charity Classic in Jackson, Michigan. And we want to wish her much continued success with that tournament and helping a lot of those youngsters out there find a more permanent home. But Cindy, as always, it's always a pleasure having you here with me on the program, and we want to take this opportunity to thank all of our listeners around the world for tuning into the Women of Golf broadcast. We certainly look forward to having you join us here each Tuesday morning at 9 a.m. Eastern Time, each and every week here on blogtalkradio.com. And just to remind everybody, if you want to check out some of the previously aired broadcasts, you can do so by going to www.blogtalkradio.com/womenofgolf, or you can just type Women of Golf up in the search key if you just go to blogtalkradio.com. And we hope to see you back here next week, right here on the Women of Golf. Thanks, everybody. Thank you, Cindy, as always, and have a great week.